Everyone who loves, who agape, has this kind of love that has the touch of Jesus on it, the fingerprint. If they could dust you, whose fingerprint would be on your love? Yours or God's? Yours or the Holy Spirit? Whose thumbprint has pressed on you? Jesus said, show me a coin. Whose image is on it? Caesar's? Give it to Caesar. You give to God the things that belong to God. Whose image is on you? Well, they talk about Christ's likeness, the image of Christ.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today, Pastor Rick will continue teaching through his message called Defining Christ-like Love in the book of 1 John chapter 4.
This is about rolling with Christ in a way that's going to please him. And we get good at complaining because complaining makes us feel strong. It feels like, makes us feel like we're justifying our bad attitude. I'm not saying we don't look for solutions and point out things that are wrong. We have to do those things wisely and as we would have them done to us. And it takes a lot of work to maintain this road, but it is so worth it. And once we get it into our hearts that it is worth it, we have a newfound courage. You know, nothing is rightly loved as Jesus is replaced for it. If you find something that Jesus just loves so much that he now is in the back seat, not the driver's seat, and God will never be your co-pilot, incidentally. He is the pilot. He does not stop being God, ever. Even when he was born in a manger, he is still God the Son, every bit of it. But this kind of love, as I mentioned, it makes us think. It makes us pay attention more. We need to be stirred. Love is not only our duty, it is a mystery. Now, those of you who maybe have served in the military, you do your duty, whether you like it or not. You have to do it, or there's severe consequence for it. No different with us as Christians. Love is our duty. And it is a mystery. To love as Jesus loved, it is not natural. When Paul wrote, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And then he went on to say, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Well, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't make any sense. So you can preach to him until you're blue in the face. He still does not get it because the Spirit of God is not in there. It's not more light that the lost soul needs. It's sight. It's to be able to see what the light is showing. You can turn on the lights all you want for a blind man. If you don't give him sight, he can't see. Unfortunately, we have this ability, we Christians, to get used to the dark. You know, you go into a restaurant, it's dark because they don't want you to see how messy the place is. The lights are low. And your eyes adjust. Well, that's fine physically, but spiritually, we don't want to get too used to the darkness around us. We have to remember you are the light of the world. So this passage, again, forces us to face what we otherwise would avoid, the difficulty of loving difficult people, the difficulty of producing love when I myself am difficult. How many times when no one else is around, you just feel, you know, bad? Some of us. Some people are just chirpy all the time. And it is up to us to stop them. Cut that out. Now, I looked up love in a few dictionaries, and I'm not going to read them because they fall short. Even Webster's, 1863 or 23 edition, whatever it was, they all fall short. They have something to do. Love is this affection. They connect it with things that you adore because you like them. Well, Christian love is more than that. It is some of that, but it's a lot more than that. Otherwise, every time something went bad, we'd be justified in telling God, I'm not loving you right now. So the apostle says here in verse 7, for love is of God. Well, it comes from him. And nowhere else, this agape love. This is the word he uses here in the Greek for every time he mentions love, some variation of it. But it was received because it was given. God wants to give it. But why should? God knows the world is under a curse, and he's not removing that curse until he returns. So don't look for a pass. You know, we kind of get into a difficult spot with God when we're expecting a miracle instead of doing our job. I don't have to work so hard because the miracle is going to show up any moment. And then when it doesn't show up, we're frustrated with God. We have to do what we're supposed to do. Temptation. What does Paul say about sexual lust? Flee. Run from it. Flee youthful lust. You can't shout it out. So this love, in the respect that it is used by the apostles, is new, and it imitates the example in the life of Christ, to love others as Christ loved them. What about when he was braiding that cord of whips and drove them out of the temple ground where they were abusing the people? Did he love them? Of course he did. But that love runs out eventually if he be rejected in the end. John 15, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. And then he says, abide in me, abide in my love, dwell there in my love, learn my love, and expect no cooperation from anywhere except God. Yourself, your loved ones, someone eventually is going to ruffle your feathers. And I went through a phase in ministry where I just sick of the cycles. That there's a cycle of, you know, a time to sow, a time to reap, a time for peace, a time for... I'm sick of it. I just want the peace and I want the reaping. That's all I want. And so times of peace would come and it's like, how long is this going to last? So that's the attitude God wants. And who suffers? Others. Myself. I'm in a bad mood. It's just, it's just like you're a porcupine. Anybody get close to you, they get stuck. So we fight these moods. I have a friend, he's a rather Pentecostal brother. I mean, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But, well, anyway, I mean, I believe there are more rules than he believes to the gifts of the Spirit. But there's one thing he used to say years ago to me, you know, something you just got to bust through. You just got to push through and force yourself to sing songs. And he's right. He's right. Sometimes you have to make yourself do it or else it ain't going to happen. Don't go waiting for the Holy Spirit because he's waiting for you. Sometimes, as I mentioned, you've got to step into the furnace before the miracle begins to take place. That we love the Lord and love the people whom he loves. Satan, we can never say that Satan helps us love what Christ loves. He will help us love what Christ hates. Hatred, he will help us hate. That's what the enemy will do, and the flesh will help him too if we're not careful. He'll swap out God love for man love. Man love needs to justify. Well, why am I loving you? What is there to love about you? You have to earn it. That's not the way it is with God. Thank you, Lord, or else nobody would ever get saved. Man love, it's useful for some things, it's not sufficient. And it doesn't please God if that's all you've got. Believers, even Christ haters, can show lesser loves, but it's lesser nonetheless. John says, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. What if he said, everyone who has a secondary love is born of God and knows God? He doesn't say that. He says, everyone who has this highest love, that's agapeo, right there in verse 7, or throughout, every time the word shows up in John, it's agape. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Everyone who has agape love, not common love, not preferred loves. Otherwise, we would say that every mother who loves her child is automatically saved. Every patriot that loves his country is automatically saved because they love God. Well, that's not true. You can be an atheist and love your country. You can be an atheist and love your child. You've got to go more further than that. That's not enough. Everyone who loves, who agape, has this kind of love that has the touch of Jesus on it, the fingerprint. If they could dust you, whose fingerprint would be on your love? Yours or God's? Yours or the Holy Spirit? Whose thumbprint has pressed on you? Jesus said, show me a coin. Whose image is on it? Caesar's? Give it to Caesar. You give to God the things that belong to God. Whose image is on you? Well, they talk about Christ's likeness, the image of Christ. Now, I could stand, or any man could stand, and you could preach to someone a perfect sermon about this love. And while you're doing it, you could be full of love. What's going to happen when you go out and the boogeyman meets you? You're still going to have this love. That's what we want. That's the goal. That's what we're shooting for. You've got a better chance at hitting what you're aiming at than what you're not aiming at. Unless you're really a bad shooter, then you, of course, you're hitting things. Never mind. I'm just sorry I went there. William Law, a man of God from over 100 years ago, said, if men are to know that we are the disciples of Christ by our loving one another according to his example of love, then it is certain that if we are void of this love, we make it plainly known unto men that we are not his disciples. So William says to us, tell us, William. Well, William, tell. All right. I need these commercials every now and then. I have to throw something in there to just get it together again. But okay, back to William. William is saying, if they know us by our love, our Christ-like love, then they'll also know that we're not his if we don't have that love. That's what John is saying. If you don't have this love of Christ, then you're not his. You say, well, what if I mess up? Well, you keep getting back in it, right? Yes, okay. But the one that just says, you know what? I don't care. I am who I am, says Popeye. Agape love is Christ. Agape love is truth-centered, Christ-centered, and action-minded. And it is also absent-minded in this way. It forgets how it's been wronged. Love suffers long, again and again and again. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You see, the emotional ones, the ones that don't understand love, you're being mean to me, you don't agree with me. Those are sensual people. They're problematic. A friend will come along and tell you, you're doing wrong and you need to fix this. They are faithful. But an enemy will promote that which is opposite of Christ. An enemy will say, no, 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 you're right in this. Vengeance is okay. Meanness is okay. Being disgusting is justified if the other one was first being disgusting to you. 2 John verse 3, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God and the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. That's what he says, in truth and love. I have a note here to just read John 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. According to the scripture, that's why the world doesn't have this. They can't get it without this Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been bullied by someone. Maybe you've been honestly wronged. Do you think that justifies hatred in Christ now? Christ, if I remember, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He was always ready to love. Do you think we're the only ones that heard him say that? Of course not. Do you think those who crucified him, they were there close enough? Of course they heard him. Do you think maybe they thought about it after? God's word doesn't return void. When God spoke it, he knew it would do something. He knew it would do something then. He knew it would do something down through the ages. And so this love, this agape love, unlike the other loves, it's not restricted to that which is popular. It's not restricted to brotherly love. It's not restricted to social love or whatever other kind of love. It goes beyond. Well, the other loves are restricted. Phileo love is a restricted love. It's a good love. I love to read the Word of God, phileo. But I love the God of the Word, agapeo. You put those two together and you have a powerful alloy. You have a strong alloy. God has given these loves. Even eros. Eros is fine if you keep it in the context or out of the context of sin. There's nothing wrong with that Greek word, depending on how you use it. He says in verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If we have no spiritual and practical concern for others based on what God has said, then our faith is questionable. The Spirit of God is not abiding in us. That should be terrifying to us. And it also should be stabilizing. Any religious experience that fails to deepen our relationship with Christ is a counterfeit religious experience. If you have some, if you're, you know, singing, even if you're singing to the Lord, but you're not growing closer to Him, you need to question what's going on. Do you agree with that? Or would you say, no, it's okay. It's okay to sing songs to the Lord and not even care what is being said, so long as you feel good. That would be crazy. Yes, God does love us just as we are. But He also loves us enough to not leave us as we are. And to do something about it, He's got to inject this love. And it's got to be something that we sign off on, that we receive, that we say, yes, amen, that's true, I want it. A.W. Tozer said, the Apostle John makes love for our fellow Christians to be the test of true faith. And he's right. That's what John is doing. You say you're a Christian, how's that love doing? You've gotten so used to hearing it, you don't check it anymore. Oh yeah, I know I'm supposed to love, I know that, but what? Well, I'm kind of irritated right now. Okay, do you think you get a pass from heaven? How about the other guy? Do you think we should give them one too when he's treating you this way? It's hard. This love thing is hard. Well, tell yourself it's worth it. That we need some incentive, do we not? We do. God doesn't just say, look, I want you to work at following me, at loving one another, and in the end you get nothing. He does not say that. Satan does that. Satan doesn't say it, but he does it. God says, no, I have an eternity for you. You're going to need faith to lock into this. You can't connect without that faith, and that faith has within it these other things. It has truth. It has love. It has blood on it. God is love, he says here in verse 8. Otherwise, why would he ever bless anybody? If God weren't love, who could ever come up to his standards of holiness? I cannot say that I do not know how, because I do know how. I know how God blesses people and why he blesses them. He blesses them because he's sovereign. He does it because he is love. That's what he tells you. He said, wait, this is one of the hardest words in the Bible to believe. In a world where there's so much sorrow and suffering throughout human history, how can you tell me God is love? You've got to look beyond the sorrow. You have to look beyond the curse. When Eve stumbled into sin, and then Adam plunged into it, because Eve was seduced, Adam willfully went in. God, of course, saw beyond. And he eventually got them to see beyond it, too. And we're no different. We have to remind ourselves to see beyond whatever comes our way. Maybe you're hit with something that just challenges your faith. God, I thought you loved me. I thought you cared. I thought you were a shield about me. I applied your word. Everything keeps falling apart. The lions, they haven't eaten me yet, but they've taken some big bites. Well, they got to eat too. I'm not trying anymore. Well, maybe you should try harder, Pastor, because you're just not getting it. Anyway, I don't know what I was saying. I get so insulted when people don't laugh at my funny jokes that I'm leaving the church. Okay, back. I'm back. So one of the hardest things, again, and yet, so God is love. Did Paul know that? How about Peter? When Peter was being crucified upside down, did he know God was love? When Paul was about to be beheaded, did he know God was love? When John was being tortured and as an old man put on a banished to an island, did he know God was love? Of course they did. Then what? What power did God exert over these people in Scripture and in history so that they did not back down when faced with horrible things such as fire, lions, crosses, stonings, suffering, scourgings, wild beasts? They didn't back down when they were taking them to the Colosseum and tying them to a post and letting animals eat on them alive. They did not deny the Christ as their Lord. This is the abiding witness of the Holy Spirit. So when the Bible says God is love, it means business. You're going to have to get a better dictionary if you're using the world's definitions of love. But if you're using the Bible's definitions of love, you'll begin to see it illustrated, stated, and demonstrated. I mean, it's illustrated in Abraham. Take now your son, your only son, and offer him up to me a burnt offering. Now you tell me, did Abraham love God when he said to Isaac, let's go? Of course he did. There must have been something else going on inside that man to do that. I can't even put myself in that spot. And then, of course, there's the Christ himself demonstrating his love for us. Not waiting for us to be good. Romans 5, verses 6 and 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That would be us, because there are no other type of people until God makes someone godly through the blood of Christ. And he continues that God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the person that says, well, you know, I'm not good enough yet for salvation. You're never going to be good enough. That's a lame excuse. You need to step up and see the light and receive it. As Paul said, I saw the light when he was telling his testimony. I saw it. And he never stopped preaching it. Verse 9, in this we love God. Pardon me, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Again, God's love revealed by statement, illustration, and demonstration. Throughout the Scripture, God is saying that. And you can only harness it by faith. You cannot harness it otherwise, or else it just becomes a story. And many have done that. That's how liberal theology has taken hold of Western civilization. Reducing it, well, this is just a story. It didn't really happen. Samson was not really someone who went through those things. It's just a story. And they do that with everything. Daniel really didn't go in the lion's den and was delivered. No, these things are really, they really happened. And I choose to agree with what Jesus said than what someone who says Jesus didn't say it. For a number of reasons, but most importantly, that internal witness of the Holy Spirit that speaks to me and says, you are mine. And backs up his word with so many infallible proofs. And so we have an eternal Father, and therefore the only begotten Son is also eternal. We are created beings. He is not. And what we're discussing here in verse 9, this is the love of God manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. This was not a prophet. It was not an angel. Satan has his religions that will pop up and say that. And they'll either say, well, he was equal with, you know, the Mormons in there, you know, don't receive him. Rome, the Vatican, they love to say Mary's equal. That's blasphemy. To say anybody is equal with the Christ, any human being is equal with the Christ, is straight out blasphemy to the Christian. Now, we are going to come across people who believe that, and we're not to hate them for it. But we're also not to tolerate such nonsense in our hearts for one second. We don't yield to that. We say, I don't believe that, and I don't believe the Bible preaches that, and I think it's a lie, and I think it's a lie from hell. And you might not like me for that. I'll still love you. Of course, I have to. But it's not true. So the only begotten Son, emanating from God, coming from God. We come from our parents. Of course, the virgin birth says God to man. He's coming as a man. But he's coming from me. And I'm going to use a human being to pull it off. And that's exactly what he did.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.